You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Steve Buddington. He's talking to me from Vermont. Steve, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, Brainerd. Nice to be here.
Steve, let's talk about what you're working on now. I know you're working on a number of things. So if you could go over them, what are all the things you're working on?
Yeah. In my studio right now, I have these large-scale shaped paintings, and in particular, they're shaped like Buckminster Fuller's Dymaxion map, which is this map that he designed in 1929 that was the first one to feature land masses that were kind of the same, and he had this utopic vision. Land masses that were scaled to each other so they weren't distorted, so that you could see the relative sizes of them. And he had this kind of utopic vision of it, and I'm just, you know, I love the shape. Also, Jasper Johns did a painting of that map that I saw once that it always stuck with me, and I felt like there was something more that could be done with that shape and that map and that idea. So that's a painting that I'm working on. I have an installation piece that I'm working on that takes place on the floor so that viewers would walk across these. They're basically these really sort of casual collages in plastic document sleeves, the kind of things that go into three-ring binders. And they're this kind of archive of material that I've been collecting over time. And I think that's it. I'm working on some drawings and a print project with a former student of mine as well. So that's sort of it in a nutshell.
well, let's talk about it all. But to begin with, the shaped canvases, I mean, you know, that's really interesting. And you know, I imagine a lot of the readers know about it. There'll be links in this article in this interview to perhaps things about Buckminster Fuller. But the map that you're talking about is one that, as opposed to the traditional Mercator map, one that's less Western oriented because the West was kind of oversized in previous maps, right? As opposed
right.
to it being in context with the rest of the continents. That is a kind of interesting utopic vision, especially, you know, in the context of the kind of global situation we're in now. That sounds like kind of a strong chunk of content for those. Are the paintings themselves sort of addressing that idea? I mean, because that's such an interesting kind of overarching idea, that shape
yes.
and this idea of a new map. But that's also, I mean, I love that idea because it's also what will be the new map? What is happening globally? How
that's
are
right.
you seeing the content in that? Or how is the, if there is content, you know, relating to that shape, how is it approached?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely the structure of his map was meant to have the word overarching, you know, is supposed to give us this overarching worldview. And he felt that if we could just look at this map and see that we're this single archipelago of islands, we would understand that, political and social boundaries were arbitrary, that we could set up, you know, energy lines across all of the continents and be more efficient and basically, you know, sort of save spaceship Earth. And so it's this kind of beautifully utopian vision. And of course, I'm interested in how it's very difficult, you know, it's wonderful to think about that, but it's very different than the social and embodied experience one actually has in the world. And even mapping now, it's not like we ever look at a big map like we're looking down on it with this God's eye perspective. We have a much more embedded understanding of how maps work. So we might be on our phone, you know, coursing through the city, experiencing our bodies in space and culture at the same time that we're kind of, you know, navigating that space. And so I think that's, to me, that's interesting. There's a kind of fragmentation that either becomes or doesn't become a whole. And that kind of tension is largely what interests me about, the paintings that I'm working on, but the premise of that map and maps in general. you know, that's something that I'm definitely thinking about in this work.
And the installation that you were discussing that goes all over the floor, you said there was, it sounds like a lot of different elements within it. Could you explain how that's put together? Because it sounds like there's papers and sleeves and text,
yeah.
or am I misunderstanding?
No, I have these. So basically in my studio over the years, I kind of have collected images, I don't know, source material, whatever. I never thought anything of it, and I would just stuff it into these plastic document sleeves and put it in this three-ring binder. And I put it in the document sleeve so that I wouldn't get paint on the things.
Let me just stop you there. By source material, you're talking about images from magazines, text, anything that kind
right.
of turns you on?
Text, drawings I've made, stuff scanned from books or torn right out of books. It could be writing, you know, anything that I've come across that, that I find interesting or, you know, that I notice, basically. I just kind of stuff into these sleeves, and I don't stuff one piece in. I'll, like, put three or four. And for years, I never thought anything of them. And then one day I was working on a painting, and I had, like, a bunch of these things just on the floor. And the painting, you know, had a shared quality with them. And then I looked at them and I was like, oh, actually these are actually works. And they're kind of in the tradition of the cut up, like the William Burroughs kind of cut up where, you know, the stuff of culture and language, you know, is sort of left without structure to be itself. You know, he would just cut up newspapers and kind of paste the pieces together. And he felt that it sort of exposed what was in the culture, you know, kind of more objectively. I don't think it's possible to be totally objective in that way, so I've been calling them these assisted documents because I am assisting these images into these sleeves, but I don't give a lot of they're not as formalized like as some of my paintings, but they're a kind of archive. And so with the floor piece that I've been working on, I liked that they were on the floor in my studio. So, you know, all I've done is put them in a grid wall to wall and then covered them with, at this point, plexiglass. I'm still trying to figure out what will be best to walk on. But it would fill a room wall to wall, and the viewers would walk across all of these collected images. And then I imagine in another room there'd be, selected paintings, some of which may refer to something in those assisted documents.
So in these assisted documents, we're talking about like a whole wall, a grid hung kind of salon style. Is that correct?
On the floor, though. They're on the floor in a grid.
So you're walking on top
underneath,
of them. The viewers all have to walk on
glass,
top.
Underneath glass, and then you walk across. Yeah, you'd walk across the whole thing. So you could like crouch down and look at them, but they fill up the whole space of the gallery. You know, right now they're in a large part of the studio, a big corner of my studio.
So that sounds like, in a way, I mean, as people are looking at paintings in one room and if there's, I mean, more work, let me know, but they're walking on the floor, and the floor is almost like the, as you're saying, it's source material for all of that. So do you feel that it's kind of an unedited presentation, like they're looking through your files, or is the arrangement of that narrative in some way?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm a big fan of, like, Borges, and I used to read, you know, Borges and Kafka and all that great stuff. And, you know, the Library of Babel, you know, this kind of infinite library where, you know, there's an infinite arrangement of letters and words and, you know, all these chambers that one could walk through. There was all these, you know, it was basically an infinite library and Borges's story about it. And so that kind of experience where these documents almost like, you know, sort of take the place of nature, you know, it's sort of the wilderness of the work that I've been making. And a lot of it, a lot of the elements, you know, they come from culture. They come from science, you know, the history of anatomy, images of the natural world, you know, things that have become important in my work over the years. And so they form a kind of, for me, they form a kind of a wilderness out of which my work is made and out of which I imagine viewers could interpret their own, you know, pathway through.
I like that. And will there be, in a show like that, are there other elements too? There's paintings, there's the whole installation on the floor. Is there also drawings being hung or anything else?
There could be. I mean, these are the things that I'm working on. But a few years ago, I did a collaborative show with the artist Nancy Dwyer. And we wound up making wallpaper for each other's paintings. And it was this kind of switch between the painting being important versus the wall being important. And so actually, I just really enjoyed working in that way. And so I've also been designing some wall patterns that would kind of ideally they will optically bend the space of the viewer. And it would be a basic pattern, a kind of triangular pattern repeated over and over again that is then kind of bent and warped on the walls. So it becomes like an optical atmosphere, I guess, for this room with the floor pieces. So that I'm imagining that would be one work, just a sort of empty room with this optically bent wall patterns and this floor piece, which is pretty dense and colorful. You know, it's a grid with many, many different images, so it kind of needs its own space to breathe in a way. And then, yeah, I can imagine also then having paintings in another room. You know, my work tends to be pretty dense. They're built up over long periods of time, and I, you know, often will sand, you know, power sand off things that I've done and repaint sections of the painting and scrape things off and add things and take things away. And they arrive at a fairly dense image oftentimes. So they also tend to need some space around them. Like I always wish I could kind of like put, you know, 8 of my paintings together, but they sort of, a lot of times they don't go well together because of their density. One of these days I'll figure out how to do that to make, you know, 10 paintings that, you know, sort of work as one painting. But right now I just don't seem to be making paintings like that.
And there was one other project you said you were doing. Was that I might have misunderstood, but at the beginning also a collaboration with students?
Yeah, a former student of mine, actually, who, I don't know when he graduated, maybe 5-6 years ago. And, you know, he's kind of been around traveling, doing things, and then he's come back to Burlington after working at Wingate Studios with Peter Pettengill, the printmaker. And he started a print CSA, so it works almost like a farm CSA. Here we are in Vermont. So, you know, he basically got collectors to pay into this print portfolio, and then he is doing, you know, working with all the artists to make an edition of prints that will be shipped out to these collectors. It's kind of a cool idea.
That idea. Tell me more about that idea, because that's really cool.
Noah Lagle what's that?
No, yeah, I mean, go on. But in other words, it's kind of like collectors I almost subscribe to this edition.
Exactly.
They pay in advance. Yeah.
Yeah, they pay in advance just like you would with a farm share. And then over, you know, I don't know how frequent it is, but he, you know, it's like over the course of a year you get, you know, 6 prints or something like this by different artists. So it's kind of I think it's a great idea. And, you know, he's the perfect person to do this. And he's, I've had him in my studio. I've had him helping out with exhibition work, and you know, I've gotten to know him over the years, and he's just a, you know, really great, great guy, and I look forward to seeing what he does with his own.
So really, he's a publisher, right? He's in a sense publishing an edition. He's choosing artists,
yes,
publishing the edition, and then finding ways to finding collectors to subscribe to this edition.
That's right. Yeah, it's totally a subscription model.
And fascinating. Yeah, I love that.
You know, he's you know, I think he's interested in the, you know, professional side of printmaking. Again, he worked at Peter Pettengill's Wingate Studios, I think this spring and summer for a while. And, you know, they work with Walton Ford and a number of other, you know,
right,
artists.
Major artists.
And so he got to be around that, helping out with the editioning, and I think he's, you know, eager to put that to use, and to.
So how
to
will your prints be made? Are you making them in his studio? Are they all made with the same process, or are they all different?
Yeah,
processes?
Well, we haven't actually decided yet. So I've been making drawings that, you know, a group of drawings, and then he's going to meet with me in about a week, and we're going to look at those drawings and sort of talk about what to do next in terms of creating a print edition from one of those or from the ideas in those. So I'm interested in what he is going to bring to it. I'm not a huge printmaker myself. I've done some intaglio and some silk screen before, but I haven't done a lot of printmaking. So I'm kind of excited to hear what he actually sees. And for that, you know, that printmaking is such a collaborative process, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's something that, you know, as an artist, a lot of times you're just working on your own, pretty much, especially up here in Vermont, you know.
Right. Well, and so it'll be done in a studio in Vermont? I mean, in other words, it sounds like it could be almost anything. It could be intaglio, silk screen, you know, monoprint.
And probably with the kinds of drawings I make, it'll be a mixed, you know, probably have some intaglio and then maybe a kind of collaged silk screen element or something like that. I'm not sure how that'll work, but it would happen probably here at the University of Vermont, which is where I teach. And he is friends with the printmaking professor, Jane Kent. And would have access. We'd have the access to the shop there. And he's worked in that shop. In fact, I think he's working in that shop as the tech this year. So there are facilities that you know, we'd have access to.
That's very exciting, and I love that idea. Is there anything else we should talk about before we go or ask you the last question? Is there a show coming up? There'll be links to different things in the interview, but is there a show coming up or anything else that we should mention?
Right now, a little quiet on the show front because I'm taking some time to really develop these different pieces that I'm working on. So I have, in the last like half year or so, I haven't sort of been pursuing things. I've been kind of like pushing some stuff out a little further so that I can get this work into a place that, where it works. And then I imagine putting it out there. But right now I'm kind of choosing to inhale in the studio and see what kind of takes place.
I love that idea. That makes me inhale now. I think we can all use a big inhale. Before we go, I want to ask you what you're reading right now. It could be off topic or not, but just a question I like to ask.
What am I reading right now? I just finished Maggie Nelson's The Argonauts, which I've been meaning to read for a while, and that is such an amazing book. I mean, wow. So I read Maggie Nelson's The Argonauts, and then I'm a big Lydia Davis fan, and I've been sort of dipping in and out of her collected works for a little while. So those are two books that I've read recently. And then actually I found this old Kafka book that had a lot of his journal entries and letters to people. And it's It's absolutely amazing. So that's kind of what I'm reading right now.
Steve, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I wish you the best with your upcoming work, and thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Brandon. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.